For the IDEA Data Center, I'm Audrey Rudick, here with two of my fellow IDC TA specialists, Kelly Blass and Kristen DeSalvador. And this is a special episode of A Date with Data. Today, we're discussing the MOE CEIS CCEIS data collection. So let's talk about the data collection and why we're here today. But first, what is MOE CEIS CCEIS data? Kelly, can you answer that?
Sure, Audrey. As we know, the special education world loves an acronym, so we have a long one here today. And MOE CEIS CCEIS is a somewhat shorter way of saying maintenance of effort reduction, coordinated early intervening services, and comprehensive coordinated early intervening services. So it's a mouthful, but we're getting used to seeing it and saying it. And it's an IDEA data collection that includes LEA level data about IDEA Part B allocations, maintenance of effort status, MOE funds, CEIS and CCEIS provisions, significant disproportionality reason, CEIS and CCEIS reservations, children receiving CEIS, and children receiving CCEIS. States also report on the determination data year, and that is the data year of their LEA determinations. So lots of different information and data are collected in this file, in these file specs. And so we will be going through as much of this as we can during this podcast.
Thanks, Kelly. That's a lot of data and a lot of acronyms. I hope that our listeners are okay with us saying MOE, CEIS, CCEIS, or maybe even shortening that a little bit more throughout the course of this so that we can get through all of the wonderful material we had today. But you did bring up changes. So let's get into that. This collection is going to have some big changes this year. Obviously, the due date, but the biggest might be moving the collection from EMAPS into EDPASS. Kristen, can you tell us why this is happening?
Absolutely. So EDPASS is an initiative that was launched by the U.S. Department of Education almost 20 years ago. So a few years ago, they made the decision to embark on what they termed EDPASS modernization. And that is an effort to update the original EDPASS system that the U.S. Department of Education uses for states to report their data to them. So they decided to modernize that system because the original system really became outdated by data system standards and the technology and the tools and the data needs of federal reporting really had begun to outpace the capabilities of the original system. So the new system, and it is currently, you know, it's live and active and states have been using it for a couple years, that has been named the EDPASS. And this new EDPASS system provides tools to support state processes. It gives the states better ownership of the data quality review process and also ensures that the data are more high quality and usable as of the due date that states are actually submitting the data. And it eliminates the data resubmission period. So in the past, states would submit their data, and then a few months later, they would get some data quality review things that they had to respond to. And so that meant that states had to kind of reinvest time, valuable time and energy, to research and fix the data issues months after submission. So the new EDPASS system allows states to address any data issues at the time of submission when the data is really fresh in their minds, thereby really reducing burden on states to have to reinvest that valuable time and energy months down the road.
Thank you, Kristen. So thinking about the move for MOE, CEIS, and CCEIS from the older system, which was EMAPS, into EDPAS, let's get into what this means a little bit. And Audrey, let's start with the data. Are there changes to particular elements this year?
Well, the biggest one, of course, is that the count of students with disabilities that received CCEIS is being added to the collection. And this is a change that's been anticipated based on the OMB package and information from OSEP over the past few years. And so states should at this point be prepared to submit the count of students with and without disabilities. I think I missed that earlier, who received comprehensive coordinated early intervening services.
So it's a change that we knew about, but and everyone had time to collect the data, right?
Right, exactly. And then the other change is related to the change to EDPAS. Previously, in our big submission template that was uploaded into the old EMAP system, states would report on NCES IDs and update flags within the data set. And because of the change to EDPAS, that's not going to be collected any longer in the EDPAS system. That's all going to be linked to the directory. So states don't need to worry about that in this particular collection. And PSC sent a broadcast back in April about this. And data managers were asked to work with their state's EDFACS coordinators and SEA EDPAS managers to reconcile their MOE, CEIS, CCEIS data to the 23-24 directory, that's file FS029 if you speak file spec, and to make any necessary updates needed to submit their federal fiscal year 23, school year 23-24 MOE CEIS data through EDPAS. So correction forms should have been sent to OSEP no later than Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. And as of recording, it's now August 13th today. And so we and our listeners should be done with any directory updates that need to happen. But I guess a question for you all, what should a state do if something happened and they weren't able to get that correction by the July 30th deadline?
I can take that one, Audrey. So if a state didn't reconcile their 2023-24 directory by that July 30 deadline, they need to reach out to PSC and get advice on what their next steps should be.
Oh, okay, great. So that should hopefully be a smooth process for them. And so now we know some about the changes to the data, about the data and some of the changes to that data and the new way those data are going to be collected. I personally know a lot about the business rules that govern the data within what was the EMAPS system, but I don't have a lot of experience pulling it together. And Kelly, Kristen, both of you have had really great experience with this. Can you illuminate me on some of the biggest challenges to gathering all of this data together?
Sure. So I'll start out just by talking about one of the biggest challenges. And I kind of alluded to it earlier when we talked about this, the file specs itself. And so the biggest challenge is that the data comes from multiple data sources. You have fiscal data, determinations, maintenance of effort, significant disproportionality determinations, and numbers of students served. You also have to be aware of the data year you're reporting for each of those pieces of data. And it can be a bit daunting for a new data manager or even a seasoned one if there are not clear processes in place and strong relationships with all of the different roles in the state agency who are responsible for collecting that data. Kristen, do you have another challenge?
Yeah, related to what you just talked about is the use of an EDPAS file specification to navigate the reporting of the data rather than having that spreadsheet and the user guide. So as Kelly said, you know, it's very important that there are clear processes in place and strong relationships with all the roles. in the state agency, and we would really encourage Part B data managers, EdFax coordinators, and fiscal folks to make sure that they have read through the file specification thoroughly and that they're familiar with it and the reporting requirements. That will really be helpful in eliminating, or at least reducing, some of the challenges that a state might face. Another important thing that could be challenging when reporting this MOE, CEIS, CCEIS data is to understand the regulations around CEIS and CCEIS. As Audrey or Kelly said earlier, it is a mouthful, but it is also a brain dump maybe of all of the regulations that are around it. So for example, if an LEA has been identified as having significant disproportionality in any area, the system is going to expect the report to reflect, exactly 15% of the funds reserved for CCIS, because that is a mandatory amount that an LEA has to reserve if they are identified with significant disproportionality. But then there's also the response to the questions about the number of students served with CCEIS, and that includes kids with and without disabilities. So you have to know the fiscal amount, but then you also have to know the number of students. Kelly, do you want to add to that?
Sure. And I'll just also add that the same challenge exists for LEAs who voluntarily choose to reserve up to 15% of CEIS funds. So SEAs must ensure that the funds reserved do not exceed 15%. However, it may be less than 15%. And LEAs are also responsible for tracking the total number of students served by these funds in the reference year or the year that they're reporting on, as well as the number of children who received CEIS under IDEA any time within the previous two school years or the reference year, and then received special education and related services in the reference year. So I know I said a lot there, and basically what that means is that they need to keep track of students who received CEIS prior to receiving special education services, and then knowing when they were identified as a student with disability. And this can be a really huge challenge when it comes to reporting on this data.
Wow, you guys, that's so insightful. And I think that the organization and the collaboration that is needed is just, it's so evident in everything that you all were saying. And I'll just add, it's not just pulling all of this together, because you have to be able to pull it all together. But there's some challenges with the submission formats for EDPAS. We can't use that big template anymore to upload the data. We're doing this in file specifications. So there is a new file specification document called FS 231 through 238. So we're kind of taking a number of those file specifications and putting them together. But this file spec does contain a reference to the spreadsheet column name for each data element. And this could be really helpful for making that transition from spreadsheet to EDPAS a little bit easier.
Right. And you can find this on the EDFAX community or in the EDPAS file specification for school year 23-24.
Right. And sometimes it's hard for my brain to remember to look in that 23-24 school year for that document, but it is a 23-24 document. We are recommending that you read the entire file specification as one of your first steps in the process, and then make a plan for how you might break apart that big CSV file into the specifications to make up your individual EDPAS files. You will have to change some of the permitted values. They're different for EDPAS. We have yes, no, NA written out. We can't use the zeros and ones anymore. And there might be LEAs that are not included in some of your files and might be included more than once in other files, just based on the guidance in the file specification. So those are some pitfalls you might want to watch out for.
Wow. So, Kristen, overall, it sounds like a lot of coordination may be needed and potentially some new collaborations given the submission into EDPAS. What else do EDPAS coordinators and managers need to know?
You are right that there is a lot of coordination that may be needed. And I will say that will be needed, not may. So it is likely that SEA EDFACS coordinators and EDPAS managers are completely unfamiliar with this collection and the requirements of the data, because as we've said, in the past, it was collected on a CSV or spreadsheet and uploaded into EMAPS, and the EDFACS folks just wouldn't have been involved at all. So it's really important for SEA staff to take the time to sit down with anyone who will need to interact with the data and go over the file specs and the data requirements and talk about any changes that they need to make in their process and how the data is collected or received from any of the authoritative sources that provide the data, in order to really make the shift to EDPAS from EMAPS as smoothly as possible. And keep in mind too that introductions may need to be made for fiscal EDFACS and program staff who manage the different data pieces, because it is entirely possible that folks have never really had to work together in the past.
That's great information, Kristen. Do you know what other resources are available for the collection?
I do. Very excited to let folks know that IDC has formed a work group in collaboration with CIFER to help states and support them. We're also very excited to announce that an edit check tool for MOE, CEIS, CCIS is being created that will actually include a file builder to help states with that transition. It's going to leverage the spreadsheet that was created in the past. So Kelly, awesome. Do you have
any info on that?
Yes, and I totally forgot about the tool, but the tool, the IDC MOE CEIS and CCEIS edit check and file builder tool will streamline the conversion of data from the legacy EMAPS format to the updated EDPAS format. So it'll support the creation of all 8 MOE CEIS data files and the associated metadata, incorporating automated calculations and built-in error checks to ensure accuracy and compliance. So that's really exciting that we will be able to assist states in preparing their data, and that the tool includes a template that mirrors the old EMAPS format previously emailed annually by EDFACS partner support. So by simplifying the complex data preparation task, this tool will enable users to efficiently generate submission-ready CSV files. And so we're really excited to see that come out. It may take some time, but we're hoping to see it soon.
That sounds so much easier than copying and pasting chunks from that spreadsheet into the new EDFACS file format. So that's so exciting.
It is totally very exciting. So Audrey, I mentioned a work group, and I'm wondering if you have the details on that work group.
Oh, yeah, of course. So IDC is actually going to have support from CIFER, which is the center for, oh, goodness, somebody remind me of the acronym there. But it's the Fiscal Center, Fiscal Reporting Center for IDEA data. And the work group's going to have a series of supports for states designed to help foster some of that collaboration, Kristen, that you talked with between EDFACS coordinators, data managers, and fiscal coordinators as they work together to prepare your data submissions for all the MOE, CEIS, CEIS. And our meetings are going to be on Thursdays. So keep in mind, as I go through dates, they're all Thursdays from 2 to 3, and we'll remind you of that. But our first one will be August 21st, And here we're going to just discuss some of your questions and answers about the changes happening with the processes and the format of the data. We might, if you have questions about state data processes, fiscal requirements, EDPAS access, or even if we're at the point and you're thinking about writing some data notes, bring those questions on August 21st. And then if you have other questions, one thing we talked about doing is kind of keeping a running list of questions so that if we don't have them on the call we're at, we'll get to them on the next call. And Kristen, I know you said you were going to help out with that thing. And I think that's going to be so helpful for our colleagues across the nation. Our second meeting's going to be Thursday, September 25th. And here we've got a little organizer in the works just to kind of help you with your data and data collections and to have a discussion about any other timely topics that you might have related to the data collection. And then October 16th, we're hoping to discuss how we can have some best practices for creating all of those 8 EDPAS data files due November 19th. And we'll talk about different ways that you might be able to create those. Then finally, we're going to have some weekly office hours, and those are going to be Thursdays. Again, all of these are Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m., starting October 23rd and ending November 13th. And these are just office hours where you can bring questions. You can kind of co-create solutions with your colleagues. You can talk about something the system might be doing that you're not quite sure of, and we can get into it. So that's our groups.
Okay, great. That was a lot of information and dates and times, which again, Thursdays 2 to 3. If you have any specific questions, remember, you can always reach out to your state liaison and get some additional information if you need it. So I hope with all of this information that we've really talked through the changes, challenges, and resources for MOE, CEIS, and CCEIS. And I'm wondering, does anyone else, Kelly or Audrey, have any final thoughts?
The only thought I just want to leave us with is that, as just a reminder, that these files are now due in November, and the due date is November 19th. And other than that, I think we've got this. We're going to support each other and work through this.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to find a shorter way of just truncating these acronyms,
right?
Because it is a mouthful. But we've got this. We're here for you as you work through it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A Date with Data is produced by the IDEA Data Center, which is funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Have a story about special education data that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at ideadata@westat.com. To learn more about our center and our work, visit us at ideadata.org.